This is the final episode for 2025. Oh my goodness, we have actually officially been up and running for about a year as the Nursepreneur Academy podcast, which is super exciting. Today's episode, I'm going to be sharing with you five lessons that I've learned in nursepreneurship in 2025 and what I'm going to be doing differently as we head into 2026. So buckle in, I have lots of goss and insights for you in this episode. Welcome to the Nursepreneur Academy podcast, where nurses like you discover how to break free from the bedside and build a flexible, profitable business using the skills, knowledge, and experiences you already have. I'm your host, Liam Caswell, an RN turned full-time six-figure nursepreneur. In 2021, everything changed for me in my career. I left my senior nursing role to build an online nurse-led personal brand. One that gives me the freedom to work from anywhere, leverage the skills the hospital paid me to learn, and create both the income and impact I always knew I was capable of. Now it's your turn. I'm here to show you the possibilities beyond bedside and help you transition into a nurse-led business that fits your needs and life. Whether you dream of working from home, earning what you're truly worth, or making an impact on your own terms, I'm going to guide you every step of the way. Together, my friend, we'll make traditional nursing as you know it, optional. Now let's get down to it and let's build your profitable business. 2025 was the biggest income year that I've ever had in business. It was the year that I had the fewest number of clients. It was the year that I grew the most personally and professionally and in terms of my business acumen and skill, specifically within content creation and probably email marketing and selling. It's also the year that I got sick so many times. Like I was sick, I think six times this year, which was hell, but we'll come back to that a bit later. And the year that I've been in the best physical nutrition health space that I've ever been. I'm literally the fittest version of Liam that I've ever been, which I'm so happy to share and to be that version of him, having spent 10 years trying to lose 15 kilos and now I've lost it 15, 18 months ago and kept it off and continued to progress there and actually love training. And it's a year that I finally understood that I wasn't broken, I wasn't needing to be fixed. I had ADHD and I've always had ADHD and I have a beautiful, amazing ADHD neurodivergent brain that has allowed me to create all of these incredible results, but life doesn't have to be this difficult as someone who is neurodivergent and it can be simpler and easier. So the six episodes of me being sick probably in hindsight were related to my ADHD burnout. So I know none of that makes sense logically because there's a lot of paradoxes there and contradictions. But for me as a neurodivergent, newly diagnosed, recent diagnosis, nurse, ADHD, all of that kind of makes sense to me now. And so I'm going to share the five lessons that actually have really deeply personally and professionally changed me. This isn't advice from a pedestal. This is my lived experience, real, raw, honest truth. And I want you to just reflect on your journey this year, whether you're a nursepreneur or not a nursepreneur. You can think about your career as well and what have been some of the lessons for you as you move forward. So lesson number one was that my biggest year in business came from learning how to better manage my energy, not from managing my time better. Now, there is definitely layover, but stick with me with this because it's the year that I've made the most money ever, been the sickest. My sleep was pretty bad over the year. My body literally forced me to slow down. I'd have days where I was super fatigued and I'd have days where I'd question myself, like, how can I be so fit but be so exhausted? And then I got the ADHD diagnosis in quarter four, like October, November. And then suddenly everything made sense. The crashes, the sickness, the why can't I keep up, that I should have more energy than this. I'm 33. Do I have cancer? Like everything that you possibly think could be going through my mind over the last 33 years has been. And what it turned out was that it was multiple episodes of ADHD burnout, chronic nervous system dysregulation, despite being someone who teaches nervous system regulation and knows so much about the trauma, the mindset, the nervous system regulation patterns and strategies. And yet here I was continuing to crash and burn. And I literally would have days where I'd be saying to Luke, my partner, like I'd be in tears. Like, what is wrong with me? Why do I not have the motivation, the drive, the willpower, the discipline? In fitness, I had embodied that there, and I'd hired a coach that I trained with 3 times a week. So I had that accountability and body doubling and someone there to support me, which I now can see are all ADHD benefits. When you have someone waiting for you, you have to be there. You can't let them down because you're so worried about being rejected and letting them down and the fear and the anxiety. But in my business, when you work from home, even though you have clients and you have all of the things happening, it's all online. Like, it's not tangible right in front of you. So my ADHD brain really struggled with that. And it makes sense as to why I have struggled with that for pretty much my whole business. But what I learned through that process was that managing my time wasn't the best way to approach growing and building my business, but being able to manage my energy and tap into the emotional highs and lows and the bursts of high energy and doubling down on the work when I have those periods of time where I was feeling incredible. Like, for example, I could have a couple of weeks where I literally was so low in mood, so low in motivation. And most of you probably would be like, yeah, whatever, you never present like that, because I got so good at masking it. And it makes me reflect back to nursing, where I used to be a nurse manager and be there from 6 till 6, 7 o'clock at night, smashing the workout, high performer, so scared of being rejected, feeling like an imposter, masking.com. And I would then go home, and on the weekend, I would crash the whole weekend. I would not be able to get up and do anything, and I would just eat, and I had this like vicious cycle. So what this year has taught me is that I have to make sure that I have a capacity-based calendar where I really focus in on my energy bursts and spurts. And I have to give myself permission to have days where my dopamine is lower. If I've had a big weekend, and I don't drink, by the way, but when I say that, I mean like if I've just been socializing and a lot of engagements with people, and I've had a big week in the business, maybe I've been launching or I've been doing a lot of batch recording or recording podcasts, my energy tanks because my dopamine tanks. And so instead of what I used to do, which was beat myself up for the whole day and be like, you're a lazy piece of shit, why can't you get to work? Because my inner critic is absolutely glorious. Now I'm like, Liam, you're allowed to take the day. And whilst I hate sitting there not doing anything, I also know that it's for the greater good, for my clients, for me, for my business, and that the next day I will be doubly productive. And so that has been, it might sound ridiculous, but that for me has been a huge lesson, because I'm not a sitter and a rester, I'm a doer. This year has shown me that you can still take days on a Tuesday when you're not feeling great and you need to take the day off. Take the day off. That's why you set up the business. Let yourself manage your energy, regulate your nervous system, do the things that fill up your cup, and then come back to it tomorrow. Honoring my energy, regulating before I've been creating, and making sure that I'm not in a place of dysregulation before I start creating content, before I start writing emails, before I start coaching my clients. We have to be coming from a clean place ourselves so that then I can be neutral and hold space for other people and for the projects that I'm creating. So this year, like next year, is the year that I allow myself more of that. I allow myself to really tune into my body, somatically get out of my mind into my body. You hear me talk about this all the time, but really practice it even more, getting out of my mind and into my body so that I can consciously regulate. And what does that look like for me? I won't sit there and do meditation. I know that works for some people. But for me, that looks like going to the gym, exercising, getting 10 to 15,000 steps in a day, outside, nature, slower mornings, none of this rushing, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, need to be at my desk by 7 o'clock. I did that for 4 years. Now I really don't start my day until about 10, which used to freak me out. But now I'm like, no, I get to get up, go to the gym, have breakfast, get a coffee. Well, I don't drink coffee now because the ADHD medications, I can't drink coffee. So I get like a matcha or a chai. And then I come home, I read my book for 10, 15 minutes out in the sun. And then I start my day. I get showered, pat my little cute bunny rabbit pet, Lockie. And then I come up and start work, or I walk into the co-working space. And so 2026 is all about energy management, not just time management. Lesson number two is that I spent 2025 doubling down and focusing. And what I mean by focus is focusing in on one offer, one social media platform, one funnel, like everything, like one, lock it in. Every business guru will tell you one thing, one approach, one offer, one price point, sell it, sell it, sell it until you make 100K. And then from there, you can evolve and, you know, develop other offers and so on and so forth. And whilst I'm here to tell you that works, for a neurodivergent brain, I'm learning why I find it so hard to stay in that lane and not want to create other things. For example, I have 3 million ideas a day about different businesses I could start, legit. Luke, I will come home from a walk and I'll have had a moment of inspiration, and Luke will then get a 30-minute presentation that he did not ask for, the exact business that I'm going to start and create. And Luke just looks at me, and he's been trained, because I said to him, do not let me start another business. This was pre-ADHD diagnosis. And so now he is just sits there and he's so good. And he's like, yep, yep, that sounds amazing. He's like, but that's a second business. And that's like my cue to go, okay, fair. That's a very valid point. I usually argue. And then he's like, no, it's a second business. And I'm like, okay, it is. And so what I've learned is that ADHD brains love novelty and they love new things and they get bored very quickly. And it makes sense as to why I felt in the career space very stuck and stagnant and why I felt like I needed to give that up and pivot and change. Now, I wanted to pivot and change because that was part of my growth, but it also makes me think about my career and how I had over 15 jobs and why people would say to me, can't you just stay put? And my parents would even say, Liam, like, you just started that job 6 months ago. I'd be like, but it's just not for me. I just know it's not for me. It's not the thing. And I was so like in tune to myself at that point in time, but yet I thought I wasn't. It's so fascinating to reflect back. And so can see where focus really works. And focus, a lot of business advice out there is created by probably undiagnosed ADHD people, to be quite honest, because there are a lot of people that come into entrepreneurship that are neurodivergent or they don't know neurodivergent, which is totally fine. Everybody's on their own journey. But also there are people that create business advice from a neurotypical lens, which means focus, double down, just work on the same thing for 5 years and then you'll get the result. For me, that doesn't work. And I've always struggled with goals because I go, okay, if I'm gonna make $500,000 this year, I cannot see it, I can't taste it, I can't feel it, it doesn't feel tangible to me. It's too far ahead of time. So much could change between now and then. I can't buy into that narrative. I really struggle with, in particular, setting money goals in my business and then working towards that with an ADHD brain. It's like, how do you balance the novelty and the focus and consistency that's required to build a business that can scale and grow? It's super challenging. And it's not just a neurodivergent challenge. I think everyone deals with this differently at different ends of the spectrum. We all exist on a spectrum. I have had my biggest year because I doubled down and because I focused, but also cognitively, from a motivation dopamine perspective, I really struggled. And therefore, I put all my eggs into one basket in business, and I didn't allow myself to do anything outside of that. I was very strict with myself. I will only do one offer, one thing. This is style content. I'm going to do everything people tell me to do. I was like the gold star student. But also I was ignoring my own intuition, my own gut, my own nervous system, my own signs and symptoms of, you're not actually thoroughly enjoying aspects of this. Whilst entrepreneurship needs repetition, my ADHD needs novelty. For me, that still looks like the Nursepreneur Academy, one ecosystem that works beautifully, creates an amazing client experience from follower on Instagram, you guys listening to the podcast, to potentially joining the Nursepreneur Academy, and then building your business. That still needs to be built as an ecosystem and continue to be built and refined to repeat and reinvent that. But I also need to allow myself permission to create space for side projects, for things that I want to do that fuel my soul, that give me that little spark of novelty. Now, if you're someone that has ADHD or you're neurodivergent, you'll understand this. It's like that constant need to be creating something new. If I could, I would start everybody's business for them and then hand it off to them. I would love to just start it and hand it off. I used to joke and say to Luke, my partner, I would love to go into hospitals, go in, take over the ward for 3 months, tidy it up, you know, go in kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Tabitha. She used to go into hair salons and take them over, and she was Australian, and she'd be like, I'm Tabitha and I'm taking over. That's a terrible British Australian accent right there. But anyway, she'd go in, she'd flip it, kind of like Gordon Ramsay flips a restaurant, and then she'd leave. And I was like, I love that idea. And now it makes so much sense because it's the novelty, the newness, the excitement of the new thing that gives me the fuel to see it through. So when I built Aussie Nurse Recruiters, my recruitment company, I loved the build. But when it got into the delivery, I didn't like it so much. I actually didn't enjoy that business and that model. Loved working with Michelle, loved building it, creating it, filling a gap and a need, but I didn't enjoy the actual delivery of it. With Nursepreneur Academy, I have more control over that because I create the curriculum, I create how it's designed. I'm in charge of the coaching, the amount of time I spend on it, all of those things. So I can kind of make that work better for my neurodivergent brain. So a couple of examples of how I'm going to integrate this into 2026 is making sure I have side projects. Now, I have a couple of things that I really want to do. I don't know when they're going to be complete, but I'm going to start working on them and chipping away at them because if I don't, then they're just going to like metastasize and I'm going to feel the urgency to need to create them and I'm going to be annoyed with myself for not doing it. A couple of those things, I haven't spoken about this before, but I really want to write a book. I really want to create a resource for people that are nurses, neurodivergent, want to do something beyond the bedside. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I've got a really great idea for what it could look like. And it might change. You might never see it. It might not even happen. But I need to give myself permission to do that so that I have something for my brain as a side quest. I also went to Sydney Fringe this year. And I loved seeing that people had ideas. They created them. And they put them on the stage. You don't have to be a professional actor, professional singer to create, produce, direct something and put it on the stage. Now, if you know me, I love theatre, I love art, I love expression, I love musicals, I love piano singing, vocals, choir, choral music, orchestra. And I'm like, oh, why can't I write a musical? This is the problem with ADHD. Now that I'm medicated, I'm like, I can do all of the things because I have consistent energy. We'll get to that. But why not? Why can't I? Why can't you? Why can't you do the thing that you've been telling yourself that you can't do? Seriously, why can't you do it? And so 2026 is a year that I let myself do these little creative micro projects, side projects that are not part of my business. They may fuel it at some point in the future, but that's not the intention. The intention is for me to focus in my business and then have creative side pursuits that fuel me so that I come back to my business energized and regulated. Lesson three was all about having fewer clients but more support. Allowed me to grow my income. I love to invest in myself. I've spent so much money on myself and I will never stop spending money on myself because I got to this point because I've spent money on myself and I've invested in coaches, I've invested in psychologists, psychiatrists, I've done every modality under the sun. I've done CBT, schema, MICBT, I've done hypnosis, I've done NLP, I've done somatic therapies, I've done trauma therapies. I've done all of the things to be able to try and find what was wrong with me because I just felt we just weren't scratching the surface. And through investing myself personally and professionally, I have been able to generate a business that made nursing optional. It is the people that I have surrounded myself with that have allowed me to get to this point where I can do whatever I want when I want, literally, right? Outside of predetermined engagements with my clients. But that is the kind of freedom that we're talking about when you build an expertise, knowledge-based business online, leveraging your personal and professional skills as a human who nurses, right? So in 2025, I had fewer clients than I've ever had in a 12-month period. Normally, I have around, in the career space, I would have between 80 to 100 clients, if not more at times, over the 12 months, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're doing a lot of resumes and stuff in interview, in coaching, that's a lot of clients. In 2025, I have around 25 to 30 clients, and that's been beautiful. It's been so nice to be able to deep dive. It kind of reminded me of why I became an intensive care nurse, because I love just looking after one person. And now, again, ADHD, it makes sense. Hyper-focus, be able to give that person all of my attention for 12 hours, and like everything would be meticulous. The sheet corners would be perfect. The bed space would be pristine. Their teeth, spotless. Their tongue, spotless. Their hair, washed. You know, like all of it makes sense now as I reflect back. And so how does that relate back to this? Well, I finally stopped asking myself to do everything on my own. I had a year off before I hired my coach in 2025 of any kind of coaching containers. I was a little bit burnt, I'm not going to lie. I'd invested in a lot of programs, specifically American programs, like American coaching programs. They were all incredible. I learned so much from them and they really helped me. I developed my skill set and the tools and the helped me build the business that I've built. But I always felt disconnected from them because I wasn't American. I wasn't in that pool. I wasn't in that world. And there was just always this disconnect. It was always in a different time zone. And I was kind of fed up of like having to get up at like 4 a.m. to go to calls and always miss the calls so that I couldn't make them, blah, blah, blah. So I took a year off and I just allowed myself to prove to myself that I could do this on my own. And I could. And I did well. I had like 180K a year. But someone with ADHD thrives when you have support, accountability, you have someone that you catch up with regularly. Even if that person doesn't give two shits about you and your business, which you hope they would because you're paying them. But even if they don't, just knowing that you have someone to present to in 2 weeks' time on the coaching call is enough of a motivator for me to go, I got to get this shit done. I need deadlines. I need systems and processes like that. I need people in my world to support and guide me. And I used to beat myself up and say, Liam, you're pathetic. Like, it's just ridiculous that you need to have all these people. I used to say to Luke, my partner, like, why is it that you don't have a psychologist and a blah, 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 blah? I don't want him to suffer. But I used to always reflect back to him and say, why do I need to pay for this? Why am I paying? What is wrong with me? And it was such a shitty way of looking at it. But at the time, that was all my brain had capacity for. And the reality is, I needed those people because I've always needed people. And leveraging other people makes me create great results. And now that I see that, I'm like, oh God, we better be careful because I'm going to keep hiring people and keep working with people to be able to create the results that I want to create. So investing in myself and having fewer clients but more support grew my income. I invested in a business coach who I worked with for 6 months. I've had 6 months off from, and I'm going back to work with her again. Very excited about that and the evolution. And the fact that hiring someone that's ahead of you, and my coach, you know, generated 500K in a launch, and I'm learning from her, and then I'm feeding all the information back down to my nursepreneurs so that they can have incredible results. You should be in containers where people are investing in coaches that are ahead of them. My coach has had $1 million a year. She had a $1.1 million a year in 12 months. I am so excited to learn how to make that a reality for myself and then pass it on to our nursepreneurs. They might not want to make $1.1 million in a year, but they might want to make $250,000. The principles are the same, but there are differences as we build and scale and grow. I invested in learning how to do better content, how to do a live launch this year. I have never done a live launch. That's a lie. I did a live launch a few years ago. I had two people attend. I did a live launch. And for those of you that don't know what that is, I did a masterclass. I had two people attend a careers masterclass. My offer was $1,000. I was devastated that only two people came. And one of them bought. And she paid me $1,000 and leveraged the program. So I had a 50% success rate, which is good. But I was gutted. I was absolutely gutted. But the reason why it didn't work is because I didn't have the systems around it to support it. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to sell live. I didn't know how to do a masterclass. I didn't know any of that. So working with my coach this year, we doubled down on content. We doubled down on building confidence and being visible online, creating capacity in my nervous system to be seen by more people. That's resulted in one B-roll clip getting 1.1 million views. 1.1 million people have seen my face. What the hell? That used to scare the shit out of me. So I'd be so worried that I'd piss someone off or I'd say the wrong thing. And so for years, my content has been super vanilla. It's been so safe. I haven't poked the bear because I've been so worried that I would get in trouble. Legit. That is the honest truth behind it. And you know, the reality is I've now learned that is an ADHD thing. Rejection sensitivity dysphoria is a full body somatic response to your fear and anxiety around pissing someone off, saying the wrong thing, being silly, you know, making a mistake. And so now I can start to see why as a nurse, I really felt little things that other people just shrugged off. Little comments, little side comments, little glances. My manager tell me to don't cry, don't be pathetic, don't cry. Like when I had 4 Human Rights Commission complaints in a day and I felt like it was a personal attack on me and my team and the work we were doing, I would take it so literal and so personal that I would feel it so deeply. And at the time, my psychologist said, you're a highly sensitive person. And I was like, yeah, I resonate with that. But now I can see that it was rejection sensitivity dysphoria. So building capacity with my coach to be able to be online and to be visible, amazing. It's really helped me grow my income. I also have continued to invest in myself, personal trainer, yoga, singing lessons. I restarted singing lessons this year for one, because I do the podcast and I want to better utilize my asset, my voice, and speak better professionally. And also, I love singing. And it's one of the things that gives me the most pleasure on this earth. Singing makes me feel so happy. I feel emotional talking about it. I don't know where that's coming from. Singing literally is like my escape from my brain. Oh, wow. And it really just has allowed me to reconnect with that part of me that I just neglected for about a decade. I haven't sang, really. And am I like the next Beyoncé? Probably not. But I love it. And I'm unapologetic about the fact that singing, like, I want to sing more. I want to sing more publicly. I want to do it because there are people out there that believe in themselves blindly, and I love that for them. And they don't care whether they're good, bad, indifferent. They don't care. They just do it because they love it. And I want it to feel safe in my abilities to do that so that I can go out there and sing and be just so proud of myself regardless. I found an amazing singing teacher who I just love working with. Yeah, I guess I'm just feeling like really proud of myself. It's ridiculous. Oh, really proud of myself for just reconnecting with that part of me, because that part of me kept me safe for so long as a queer kid who never felt like he fit in with the pack at school because he didn't play sports. I did. I played rugby and football because I felt like I needed to, but I hated them. I hated how rough they were and how aggressive they were. And I forced myself to do it so that I would fit in. And then I also, alongside that, did theatre and musicals and plays. And I used to be part of 3 to 4 productions a year. And those productions were everything to me. They were literally life. Like, it was life-giving for little Liam. And I loved them so much. And so I need to get back into that space. I am back in that space. And I think why I'm feeling so emotional is because I'm there. And I had set a goal at the start of the year to do that and to give myself permission to do it. And we've done it. And I'm going to continue to do more of that in 2026. So I went on a bit of a tangent there. But that's the power of just allowing yourself to feel. And this is, you know, a little tangent, a little micro tangent, is that that's the problem with most of life, is that we don't actually allow ourselves to feel what we need to feel and process it and hold space for it and acknowledge it. And so, you know, they say when you name it, you tame it. And when you park it, I'm just making this up, but this is kind of what's coming to my mind. Like, when you park it, you shame it, right? If you don't talk about it, you don't think it, you'll just internally shame it. And I'm done with that. I can't be bothered with that. I don't have the time and the space for it as I move forward. So investing myself, long story short, has allowed me to increase my income, but also increase my joy, my happiness, my motivation, and of course my support as I move forward. And if you're neurodivergent or anything that I've mentioned to you today resonates with you and you're not neurodivergent diagnosed, of course it's not medical advice, but be kind to yourself and hopefully you see aspects of yourself in what I'm talking about. But in relation to support and neurodivergence, it's a non-negotiable. You have to allow yourself to have the support. You have to give yourself permission to hire the people you need to hire so that you can smash your goals. You will get further with people than you will doing it on your own, DIYing it, just trying your best. Lesson number 4, content and business are simple. But simple doesn't mean easy. Success in business and entrepreneurship takes time. It's going to take consistency, patience, commitment, and a nervous system that can hold a lot of uncertainty. This is why in the Nursepreneur Academy, we start with transition to nursepreneurship. And the second module I get you to do is all around your entrepreneurial nervous system. I teach you how to identify it, recognize it, how to get out of different states, how to build a nervous system care plan for yourself as you build a hybrid nursing career, nursing and business. Without it, you will fail. You will collapse. You will not be able to tolerate the discomfort of not knowing when your first client's going to come, not knowing how your content's going to go, not knowing whether or not this is the offer or that's the offer. As nurses, we sit with a lot of uncertainty in our jobs, but we don't acknowledge it and we don't actually value it or show ourselves that we actually can sit with a lot and tolerate a lot of uncertainty. But it seems that when people make this transition into business, they go, oh no, I should make money straight away. It takes time. That is why I created the MPA to be a 12-month experience. Because the last thing I want to do is lead people up the garden path and say it's going to take you 12 weeks. It's going to take 6 to 12 months. No one will say this online because when you say this, people go, it's too hard. But the reality is building a nursing career doesn't take 12 weeks. It takes time. The time passes anyway. So then it's like, do I give myself permission to start this now? And then knowing that in 6 months, 12 months, I have the opportunity to make half my nursing salary back through my business. And then in 18 months and 24 months, I can do what Liam did on a shorter time horizon, because it took me like 4 years to get there. And then I can replace my nursing salary. And then I can do one shift a month, one shift a week, one shift a fortnight. Maybe I don't want to work nursing anymore. All of that takes time. And so I posted content for years. I've been posting since 2021. I've posted over 2,000 times. And you could argue that over years, it's just been compounding and stacking. It's like when I teach stress management, stress compounds and stacks until you deal with it. It's the same is true in business. You post content, you build your business, it compounds and stacks. And then there's a tipping point and people go, I want this, I need this. Especially when you start to layer in strategy and you talk to your people and you tell them that you can help them. It can really just be that simple. Create an offer, tell people about it, ask for them to join it, sell them. Like, it can be that simple. Yes, my Instagram has popped off. Yes, the podcast has got great downloads and great reach. But the vanity metrics of it all doesn't really matter to me. We've spoken about this on the podcast. Those metrics are not the be all and end all. It's lovely to say I've got 9,000 followers, I've got 10,000 followers. But what does that actually mean? And so when we're thinking about content and business, what I've learned is that some posts are going to flop because maybe I haven't actually given them enough attention and I've moved on to the new thing with my novelty focused brain. Posts that I've put like hours into can do really well or they can do really badly. Posts that I've done in a taxi when I've had a moment of inspiration, I've just posted it and not cared so much about anything, pop off and go crazy viral. Like, what the hell is that about? Simple storytelling, vulnerability, shareable content, just talking about what I'm doing, like almost seeing my business through the lens of documentation, documenting what I'm doing, works really well. And doing what has already been proven to land in different niches with content in particular, it works. So stop trying to reinvent the wheel. Stop, Liam, stop trying to be perfect. Stop trying to be impressive and lead with credentials or I'm an RN, master's health management. No one cares. I'm sorry, but no one cares. I learned that the hard way. No one cares about any of that. They care if you can understand them and if they can connect and relate to your story. If you can make them feel a certain way. That is what it looks like in content in online nurse-led businesses in 2025, 2026. Everything started shifting. Simple is clean and strategic, and it can really support your people. Experimenting is the whole point. No one has it worked out. Trusting your voice and trusting that you have something of value to say has been a huge uphill battle for me. Imagine like low dopamine, really loud inner critic, feeling scared to be visible as a queer guy. I know women have this challenge as well. I mean, every human being on the earth has something that makes them feel scared to be seen. I'm not special in that sense. But acknowledging that, seeing it, and then working through it instead of just being like, oh, I can't because of X, Y, and Z. And so all of these things have allowed me to see that content that is highly complex and then also really simple content has shown me that simple content works better. And whilst you need both styles of content, if you're a nursepreneur who's growing and a lot of our nurses in the community, they benefit from simplification. That's one thing that I've done throughout the Nursepreneur Academy is simplify all of the steps, not dumbing them down. You still have the systems, the processes, the structures, the implementable things into your business, but you get them at the time that you need them. I've been in containers where I've been overwhelmed with the depth as a beginner, and I feel like if I presented that to our nurses, they would be like, holy shit, this is too much. It's overwhelming. So it's finding that happy medium. I've also been in containers where it's literally been like, just post 3 pieces of content a week and you'll get clients. And I'm like, that's not actually how it works. So we're that nervous system, trauma-informed Nursepreneur Academy space where we allow content and business to be simple and we test and try and iterate. So 2026 is my year of allowing myself to document more of my business and my approach to things and share what's on my mind regardless of what I'm thinking, feeling, and stop trying to be overly strategic. There's strategy, but there's also in the moment real raw human vulnerability that is important, and that, as you saw earlier, as I got emotional, I did not plan for that to happen. That's what lands in 2026. People are fed up of these big brands. They want human connection, especially in the growing landscape of AI. In business, I want to play more. I want to have lighter energy. I want to repurpose more content, work smarter, not work with what's already working, and maybe introduce new platforms and new ways of creating content for that novelty ADHD brain of mine. Lesson number five is that nervous system capacity is going to determine your success more than anything else. You can have the best niche, the best offer, the best funnel, the best pricing, the best content, but if you don't know how to manage your nervous system and you don't know how to get out of states of fight or flight or freeze and fawn and come back to homeostasis, come back to between the flags and spend time there as you build and grow your business, you're building a stress-fueled business that is going to be leaking in, like that stress is going to be leaking into your content, your offers, your emails, all of the things, and people pick up on that energy. Humans are energy readers. They identify that energy. It's not woo. I have noticed this firsthand in my business. When I am in a state, and I've been in a state of like burnout or like really bad fight or flight, freeze and fawn, and I've been there for a prolonged period of time and I've been chronically stressed for an array of different reasons, my business just doesn't business. It just doesn't do anything. Content doesn't land. No one's getting on my email list. Sales don't happen. Offers that were working perfectly before, now all of a sudden no one wants to buy them. If you create any long-term content assets in that state, for example, like an evergreen funnel, and that's up and running, you might have lower conversions because you weren't in the right state, the right head state. You didn't understand how to manage your nervous system before you did that. So when people or nurses come to us in the Nursepreneur Academy and they're not getting the results, we always come back to looking at our mindset, looking at our nervous system. What can we do to fill up our own cup? Because as nurses, we're designed to overgive, and that can translate into creating loads of content online, but none of it's actually landing because you're not regulated. And therefore, we need to make sure that we have that kind of balance in business and that we don't get into the same patterns that we left nursing to avoid. When I started building more capacity, I started focusing on my nervous system, going to yoga every week, exercising, getting back into singing, playing my piano, my business and my income started to grow more. My passions and my creativity fueled my business. A great example of this is one of our nursepreneurs, Trina. She was talking about how she used to be a dancer. I didn't know this about her. And she was telling me one day on a coaching call. And I said to her, I said, Trina, when did you last dance? And she said, oh, it's been years, like decade, like probably 10, 15, 20 years. I said, Trina, you need to go to a dance class. And she was like, oh, okay. And she's been going to dance classes once a week. And honestly, she puts it on, like it's on her Instagram. She uses it as content. It's on her stories. And obviously she's regulating her nervous system. She's moving. She's getting the stress from nursing and her business out of her system and life. And she's having a moment for herself. There is nothing more beautiful that you can give yourself as an entrepreneur, as an aspiring nursepreneur, or as a nurse. The thing that you used to do for play as a child or as a teenager, reconnect with that part of yourself. So for me, 2026 is a year of regulation before execution, capacity before scaling, making sure that I'm not scaling from a place of stress. I have the capacity, have the systems, the people, the structures, the routines with my little novelty side projects there before I scale and grow. Safety before strategy. There's no point trying to strategize about a business model or pricing if you are coming to a coaching call totally stressed. So we teach you how to manage that. And that's what I do myself as well. And building a relationship with receiving more. So many of our nurses will tell us that in coaching that they don't feel like they deserve to be paid. And I can relate to that massively. I undercharged for years. But what I always come back to is everything that you want and need in your business, in your life, that you want to create, any result you want to create, you have to build a cognitive, safe relationship with first. It's base, it's manifestation. I don't talk about manifestation. I don't like that term per se, and I don't like that approach because it just assumes that you just think it and you create it. Yes, and like we have to tidy up our thinking around a result that we want. If you want to make $4,000 from a client sale, but your brain is offering you, I'm never going to make money, I don't know how to sell, no one's going to buy this offer, the disconnect and the cognitive dissonance and the discord between where you are cognitively and what you want tangibly is not doable. You are in complete discord from the result. So we have to tidy up our thinking, work with our brain, create safety around our thoughts. And then once we've got our thought locked in, we work on how does that feel? When we feel that way from that thought, how do we take action? What are we not doing anymore? And these are patterns that we have to rewire and refire in our brains. This is neuroplasticity. That is what manifestation is. When people teach it like woo-woo, like you just think it and you'll create it, drives me insane because it's not how it happens. It is through repetition, repetition, repetition that you become the version of yourself that is able to receive $100,000 in your business. And you know how you make that happen? It's not just by brainwashing yourself and telling yourself you can have it. It's by being surrounded by people that are doing it. You cannot and will not be successful if you're not surrounded by people that are doing it. I actually left a coaching container, my very first one, after 12 months in it. I did not re-sign on because no one else in the group was making money. And it was driving me insane because I thought to myself, I'm in here. I need to see other people hitting bigger goals than I'm hitting. Why aren't they? And, oh, well, I knew why they weren't, because some of them weren't putting the work in. I was in the same course with the same coach, the same training, and I was getting the result and they weren't. And things could have been happening for them, but I needed to be in a space where I could see other people. I needed to build capacity. And I did that by being in rooms with people that were making $100,000 a month. And I could go, holy shit, how does that even happen? I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I want to be surrounded by you so I can see that you're human, I'm human, you make mistakes, I make mistakes, and you succeed, I succeed. I'm going to learn from you by osmosis, just by being. And that's what we get in our Nursepreneur Academy, is people learn through each other. And often on a coaching call, they'll be like, oh my goodness, I was going to ask that question, but you know, Liam already asked it. And that covered it all for me. They just needed to see and to be validated and to shift their thinking so they could practice a new neural pathway. That's what's happening kind of behind the scenes. So no more trying to white knuckle my success moving forward. We've got our ADHD locked in. All of the things are happening. So hopefully in 2025, it's all about capacity build. So I've covered a couple of things about what I'm doing differently. I'll give you the high level. Prioritizing creativity again is a non-negotiable for me. And I encourage you to think about that as well in your nursing career, in your business, in building your business. When you feel flat or you're feeling in a dysregulated state, go and do something, even if it's only for 1 to 2 minutes. I will go into my bathroom because it's got the best acoustics. I will put on one of my favorite songs and I will sing and then I'll come back to work. Or I might be there for 30 minutes, but I feel great and I've re-energized myself and I've lifted my mood and then I'm good. In between coaching calls, I often go out for a walk. I need time to process. It's not creative, but my creative juices start flowing because I maybe listen to a podcast or a song or I'll play the piano or I'll read. Do something creative. Have fun. Play. Make capacity building non-negotiable. We've talked about this. Gym, yoga for me, rest, actually scheduling and rest, slower mornings, and my ADHD medications actually make my life less chaotic and less urgent, and I feel like I do less rushing, which means that I make better decisions, I'm more regulated, which means more clients, more income, more success as you move forward. Playing the long game. My brain wants to win tomorrow. My brain wants to know how I'm going to be uber successful and create the nursepreneur movement of the globe tomorrow. But business needs consistency and commitment. So 2026 is about sticking with the plan, not jumping. Every time I get a new idea, having a process for ideas and projects, allowing myself to have those little things tinkering along, but choosing both long-term but short-term dopamine hits as well so that I can continue to work with my neurodivergent brain. Letting my personal life support my business. So when my life feels spacious and is grounded and I've got good friend circles because I've neglected like making friends for years, I've just like boxed myself in, I notice that I'm just a happier person and I have more things to push towards. So I don't have children. I don't want children. I think they're amazing, but not for me. And I don't have a lot of family here. So I've really had to like build my whole network. And that's hard. That's been challenging, but I've neglected it. And now I know why I've neglected it, because of my ADHD and because I felt like I wasn't good enough to be around people, which is sucks. But now, medicated, I feel much better. And finally, working with my neurodivergence, not against it. So for those of you that are beautiful, neurospicy, amazing human beings, I'm designing my business around how my brain works, not how I think I should run my business based on what other neurotypical people are doing. That means that I plan, but I'm flexible with them. I batch content when I have the energy and I lock in. I rest when I don't. I allow myself the support that I deserve. I implement systems, or I hire people. I've actually recently just hired someone to support me with systems in my business so that I don't have to think about that, because I lose a lot of cognitive energy there, and then I don't have the capacity to do the other work that I need to do. And just making life easier. I don't know enough about ADHD yet. Of course, I've been diagnosed for a couple of months, and I have read like 10 books about it. I've listened to lots of podcasts. I've created a ChatGPT ADHD life advisor because that's what I'm like. I've hyper-focused. I've been talking to people. I've met other people about it. But I still am very new in this journey. So I don't know what this looks like moving forward. But I'm really, really excited to navigate life as I do proceed with ADHD building a business. And I'm really excited for 2026 because I feel like I have a lot of the foundational things that I have been working towards for 4.5 years locked in. And I feel like I'm in a really good place. Our Nursepreneur Academy is, our clients are smashing it. They're doing so well. They're moving through the curriculum. They're coming to the coaching calls. They're building their brands. They're visible. They've got their freebies, their systems, their structures. They're selling. They're making money. They're posting content. They're building a brand. They're being invited on national podcasts. I'm feeling like really aligned, regulated most of the time, prioritizing myself, my fitness, my mindset, my health. And it all feels really good. Life is life. Anything can happen. But I feel for the first time in a long time that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be and that everything is going to work out. And that's a big thing for me to say, because in the past I've just kind of like brainwashed myself to believe that to be true. But now with ADHD and, you know, my medications on board, I feel unstoppable. So I'm excited for what 2026 is going to offer and what I'm going to create, because I have to create the results, right? It doesn't just land on my lap. We create our own results in our careers and our nurse-led businesses. So one thing that I want to just leave you with is that often in our coaching, nurses will say, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows and daisies. Some days you want to quit. Some days you want to give it all up and just go and take a job. There have been many days where I just say to Luke, I'm just going to go and work at Aldi, get a company car and stack the shelves. The only way in business, an online personal brand-based business, the only way that you fail is if you quit. And so if you see someone online, and I'm not saying this to just be like, call them out, because people stop and quit for different reasons, health, wealth, relationships. This is not me being shady. But the only way that you fail in your own mind is if you stop doing it. And entrepreneurship is a long game. It is a long game. People that have succeeded that you see, that you watch online on YouTube and podcasts and social media, and they flood your platforms, those people have failed massively in business. They've taken so many risks, they've succeeded, and they have put in the time, the effort to be able to create the result. The only way that you fail is if you quit. What I would share with you is that for those of you that are worried that it might not work for you, it will work for you because you'll do the work. Nursing worked for you because you do the work. You show up, you do the work, you go to work, you do your thing. The same is true in business. So, my friend, I'm so, so grateful for your time, your patience, your understanding, your ears, your sharing of the podcast, your reviews, your following us on the Nursepreneur Academy on Instagram, reading my emails. In 2025, it has been an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be a part of your world. And I know this is a one-way street of me talking at you, but I would love to hear from you on Instagram at nursepreneuracademy_. If anything this year with the podcast has resonated with you, where are you at? What are you thinking about? Are you going to be building a business in 2026? What questions do you have? And I want you to reflect and think about how much you have changed in 2025. This episode's been a little indulgent of like what I've learned, but these lessons really are lessons that I've stole from the Nursepreneur Academy and our coaching with our clients. The same is true across the board. Everybody pretty much struggles with the same things. And we work together and we work through it to be able to build a life where we get to make nursing optional. And I can't wait to help nursing optional for even more nurses globally in 2026 so that they can have the time, location, income freedom that you've been craving and deserve. Have a beautiful Christmas, an incredible new year. A pay rise bedside nursing could never provide. Freedom from hospital politics and the flexibility to work on your own terms without the shift work. You, my friend, are one step closer to creating your bedside escape plan. I want to hear your insights, takeaways, and questions. Connect with me over on Instagram at Nursepreneur Academy or email me at hello@liamcaswell.com. If you're the type of nurse that's ready to explore your options for building a nurse-led business, leave us a review, screenshot it, and send it to my email or my Instagram, and I'll send you my bedside to business roadmap, my step-by-step process to building a six-figure nurse-led business as a thank you. Until next week, keep dreaming big, taking bold action, and betting on yourself, because this is the year you make nursing optional.